Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. My name is Fee Sullivan, Senior Pastor, and I truly want to thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched today, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join me now as we begin our message.
And please allow me to go before the throne room of grace. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we bless you and praise you. We exalt you, we magnify you. Lord, we're asking, God, that you would give us ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit is saying to the church. And we bless you and praise you in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, amen. One last announcement. Please, this Sunday, we're going to have a couple come in to give their hearts. And they're going to be baptized. Sister Josie's daughter, Maui, and her fiance, Vincent. Amen. So we're going to have two baptisms Sunday. Come and celebrate with them and watch God do what He is going to do and what He promised to do in these last days. Amen?
Amen.
Praise God. Praise God. So, I've entitled this evening's message, "There is none that seeks after God." There is none that seeks after God. And so, are you there at Romans chapter 3? We're going to do our best to expound verses 8 through 18. And here we go. And it reads, "And why not say, let us do evil that good may come, as we are slanderously reported, as some affirm that we say their condemnation is just. What then?" I love Paul's questions. They're rhetorical. "What then? Are we better than they? Not at all. For we have previously charged both Jews and Greeks that they are all under sin." Wow. So in other words, no one's going to escape the wrath of God. Look at this. Verse 10. "As it is written," here's where I got my topic, "there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none who understands. There is none who seeks after God." Verse 12. "They have all turned aside. They have together become unprofitable. There is none who does good, no, not one. Their throat is an open tomb. With their tongues they have practiced deceit. The poison of asp is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness." We don't know people like that, do we? Look at verse 15. "Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace they have not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes." Wow. So, Paul is describing someone that's unregenerated. Paul is describing someone that has no clue who God is. And we're going to see through the scriptures is there are people that are alive today that do not seek God. They don't know God. God is not in their hearts, in their minds. They're not looking for Him. They have no clue who He is. Matter of fact, when you share Christ with them, some of them will curse you in your face. They have removed Jesus out of the school system, out of the court system, out of the public square. You cannot talk about Jesus anywhere you go now, or you'll get rebuked or reprimanded. But you could bring in all the other religions. You could bring in the Quran. You could bring in Buddha. You could bring in all those foreign gods, and they have no problem. Why do they have a problem with Jesus? You know why? Because Jesus is the only one that can transform someone from darkness into this marvelous light. He's the only one that can deliver us from sin. And people love their sin. People don't tell me anything about this Jesus. Why? Because they're comfortable where they're at. And they love their addiction. They love their drugs. They love their alcohol. They love their pornography. They love to be self-righteous. They love to be self-moral people. Oh yeah, there's people that don't sin like I just said, but they're very proud and they're very arrogant and they're very self-conceited. They know better than you. Oh, we don't need religion. And so let's break this down. Let's go to verse 8 here. And why not say, let us do evil that, what, good may come? As we are, well, look at this, slanderously reported, as some affirm that we say, their condemnation is what? Just. Let me found, I found a couple of scriptures that will back up what Paul is talking about in this verse of scripture. You see, the Jews thought that Paul was blaspheming the Jews of the law of Moses, meaning the doctrine of Moses, which all the Jews till this day, all they know is the Torah. All they know is the five books of Moses. All they know is from Genesis to Malachi. And they believe that the New Testament is nothing but fairy tales. Why? Because Jesus is the true Messiah, and they don't want nothing to do with it. But look what, look, listen, this is why when you share, and there's a ministry that's being birthed, by the way, Sister Carla is going to share on Sunday morning on a ministry that is going to be birthed out of Amazing Grace to reach the lost without what? Reach the lost without a what? Cause. Can I get an amen? And let me just say this. They're going to come against this all the time. I remember when we were brothers in Christ, we came across this all the time. But this is what Jesus said right here. And this is why Jesus, hallelujah, I found this scripture to affirm, to confirm what Paul the Apostle was saying to the Roman church. Look at this, Matthew 5:11. Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. When you guys are out there, you may even get spat upon. Come on. You better be thick-skinned. You better have a coat of armor. Why? Because don't let someone get in your grill and you fall for their trick. Because that's what the devil wants to do. He wants you to lose your testimony. But look at verse 12. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad. Look at that. Be glad, for great is your reward in heaven. If so, they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Rejoice. Listen, when you have a made up mind to go into the enemy's camp, you have to come fasting and praying, and you got to have your armor on. Don't go in there thinking you can just shoot from the hip. Because you know why? A devil will come by. A demon will come by and try to trip you up and try to just slander you. But Jesus said, blessed are you when they revile you and persecute you. Look what I found in 1 Peter chapter 3. Look at this. Having a good conscience that when they defame you as evildoers in the generation that we live now, what we're doing for the goodness of God, they look at us as now evildoers. We're enemies now to the culture. The culture wants to kill, steal, and destroy. The culture wants to abort. The culture wants to murder and to slander. They want to commit heinous crimes, get out and do them again. And our society has allowed that. So look at this. Having a good conscience that when they defame you as evildoers, those who revile your good conduct in Christ may be ashamed. For it is better, if it is the will of God, to suffer for doing good than for doing evil. So keep on going. Keep doing what God's called you. Keep your guard up. Keep your armor on. Because every day, Satan will come and visit you one day, and he will try to blindside you like no other and try to commit you to throw in the towel. And guess who he'll use? The ones that are just so close to you. The closest one to you, the devil will use to throw you off course. All of a sudden, you're mad. I can't think. I'm just thinking about that. That's it. Oh, come on. And then all of a sudden, you lost focus what God told you to do. Saints, the gospel Paul preached was being misconstrued because he argued that obeying the law would not bring salvation. And it don't. How many believe that? It won't. It won't bring salvation. Paul and possibly the Roman Christian saints of God had heard this objection from Jews who were accusing him of teaching lawlessness. No, he wasn't. He was teaching grace and faith, and he was teaching repentance. People don't want to repent. You know what? They're set in their ways. And so when you telling someone to repent and turn to the Lord Jesus Christ, you're asking them to do something that they cannot mentally, spiritually do with their own strength. They can't do it. So they look at you as what? An evildoer. Leave me alone. Get out of here. See, if Jews or Gentile Christians interpreted Paul's words that God is faithful despite people's faithlessness to mean that God's laws need not to be followed, then they could reach the incorrect conclusion that the more we sin, the better it is. That's a false narrative. The more we sin is going to what? Drop us into the lake of fire. You see, Paul dismisses the perverse reasoning with the verse words, those who say such things deserve to be condemned. Listen, they were on him so harshly that they wanted to kill Paul. We read in Corinthians what he had to go through. He was shipwrecked. He was bitten by snakes. He was tossed out of a two-story building. He was beaten by his own countrymen. He received what? How many stripes with a rod of iron? 39 stripes? And then he was robbed, mugged, left to die. But you know what? It didn't matter. He got back up. He said, God, heal my body. And he kept going. My question to those who want to venture out in this new ministry, if you come against opposition, are you still going to continue? If someone tries to thwart, someone tries to what? Roadblock you. Someone tries to cancel you. Because we live in a cancel culture. Can I get an amen? They want to cancel you. They may even call the cops on you, and the cops may apprehend you. Are you going to still do it? Because you never know when they will apprehend me. And if they do that, then all of a sudden God gave me a jail ministry. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
I'm just going to go preach in there.
That's right.
Paul converted the... Come on. Okay, let's move on. Let's move on to verse 9. Praise God. I still have some faithful congregants that will come and bring me a slice of bread. Yeah. So in verse 9 it says, what then? Are we better than they? Not at all. For we have previously charged both Jews and Greeks that they are what? All under sin. Look what I found in Proverbs. Look at Proverbs 10 or Proverbs 29 through 10. Who can say, I have made my heart clean? I am pure from sin. Diverse weights and diverse measures, they are both alike, an abomination to the Lord. You walking around, man, I am sinless. I ain't got no sin. I'm glad you found religion. That's an abomination to God. Because how many believe we need Jesus? Oh, we need him. Hallelujah. So saints, to the question of whether there was any value in being a Jew, Paul had said this. He said, but to the question as to whether Jews are better than Gentiles, Paul answers no. And what was the reason? Because Jews and Gentiles are alike under the same sin. All they had was favor from God, and he gave them the law. But they still are sinners like us. They don't believe they are. And that's why the scribes, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, They all hated Jesus. Why? Because Jesus would put them in their place. He says, you all are a bunch of dead men's bones. You guys are whitewashed tombs. He says, your cup is all clean on the outside and shiny, but inside your cup it's corrupt. Wow. Wow. You see, when we come into the saving knowledge and we understand who Jesus is, our life is never going to be perfect. But God is our advocate now. You know what an advocate is? He's our attorney. Can I get an amen? He's our lawyer. He stands now before us. Just imagine. If you get hauled away for maybe a sin that whether or a crime you committed, or maybe you did not commit. Let's just say you didn't commit the crime. Aren't you going to need an advocate? Huh? Or are you going to go, is it called pro se? In other words, you're going to go just resent yourself and defend yourself in court? These lawyers will railroad you. They'll chew you out and spit you out, and the judge will laugh. And you'll go right into prison for how many years? But for us, we have this. Look at this in 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he is what? Faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from some?
All.
Say that with me. All unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and the word is not in us. Wow. Be careful. Because we all fall short of the glory of God. Amen?
Amen.
Every one of us. We all need Jesus. Amen. Even as a saved, sanctified, Holy Ghost filled, water baptized in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Heaven bound and the hell to shun. We still need him.
Yes.
Can I get amen? We need him every day.
Amen.
Every day. And so let's go to verse 10 now of Romans chapter 3. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. It's clear. There's no righteous person on this earth. Can I get amen? We have the righteousness of Christ. But none of us, do you know what the Bible says? A self-righteous person is but filthy rags. You know what a filthy rag is? In the Hebrew? You know what that is, right? No, it's a woman's used up rag. You know that? Their monthly rag? Wow. Saints, there could be no more argument about special privileges for the Jews. For from their own scripture, Paul, he strings together a series of verses outlining a universal indictment. Meaning, God has, remember Jesus said, I didn't come to condemn the world. The world's already condemned. So when the fall took place, when Adam and Eve sinned, God then gave planet Earth an indictment. He indicted both Adam and Eve and all the offspring. Now we're under that indictment. And Jesus had to come and represent us. Can I get amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. He set us free.
Amen.
Thank you, God. The advantage of being a Jew does not apply to salvation. We're just thankful for them that God used them to bring us the word. That's it. They still needed Jesus. Can I get an amen?
Amen?
They still needed the Lord. How many believe that we need the Lord? Thank you, God. All have sinned. No one is righteous. No one can earn right standing with God. Praise God. So look what King David wrote in Psalms right up here. Look at this. In Psalms 14:2, the Lord looks down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there are any who understand, who seek God. They all have turned aside. They have turned together, become corrupt. There is none who does good. No, not one. So this was written before Paul wrote to the Romans. King David knew this. God had to show him. This is how frail we are. This is how frail and corrupt man is. Did you know that the Holy Spirit is the only entity in the entire universe that can reveal the true state of man, the depravity of man? Because you know why? Man cannot think up of all this stuff against him, because we're always trying to defend ourselves. So we're never going to, without God giving us illumination and showing us what sin is, we're never going to confess anything, because we love to hide. Remember when Adam and Eve sinned? They hid. So we hide naturally. That's our DNA, to hide and to run until God comes our way. Praise God. Look what King Solomon wrote in Ecclesiastes. Look at this. For there is not a just man on earth who does good and does not sin. And we all know there was only one sinless man. Who was it?
Jesus.
What I love about the Old Testament, because they were a foreshadow. They're the ones that inspired the apostles and the disciples to write what? The New Testament. But they used the Old Testament as their reference, as their guide. When you're doing a study, what's that one book that you use with your Bible? It's called a what?
Concordance.
That's right. So that was their concordance, was the Old Testament. And so look at Paul the Apostle. He was a rabbi, a Hebrew of all Hebrews. He was from the line of Benjamin. So he understood the Old Testament. And so when he got saved, got filled with the Holy Ghost, man, the Word of God just started coming alive to him. Wow. And look what, who knows who the weeping prophet is? Who's the weeping prophet?
Jeremiah.
He's the weeping prophet. Why was Jeremiah called the weeping prophet? Because he cried for Israel. Because he saw that the Babylonians were going to conquer them. Because from the top to the bottom, meaning from the king of Israel to the common folks, they were all sinning before God. And Jeremiah had to come and weep and tell them that if you don't repent and turn away from your idols and stop dropping kids in the fire like today's abortion, he goes, the Babylonians are going to come and overtake you. And so God gave them revelation of why they do these things and why we have done things like that in our day and time. It's right up here. Look at this. Jeremiah wrote, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Our heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. Who can know it? He says, I, the Lord, search the heart. I test the mind, even to give everyone according to his ways, according to the fruit of his what?
Doings.
Wow. My goodness. And so, saints, as is the pattern throughout the New Testament, writers do not always quote word for word from the Old Testament, but they use it. They were using it as a concordance, as a reference point. And their notions about making exact citations were less stringent than ours. And because writers were probably working from memory as often as they were working with a text before them, their quotations, saints of God, tend to be allusions more than they are direct references. So in other words, what I'm saying here is they would use it as metaphors. Like, there's a lot of metaphors in Revelation. What did we teach on 2 weeks ago on Sunday? The four horsemen of the apocalypse. Remember that? And so it was a metaphor. The black horse, the red horse, the white horse, and what? The green horse, right? So you're thinking, wow, they're riding a horse somewhere on this earth. No, it was a metaphor. And so the apostles used a lot of the Old Testament metaphors to bring forth the truth. And we saw clearly what those four entities were, huh?
Yes.
That are here right now. And the reason why the book of Revelation and Revelation chapter 6 and the first there was eight verses. Why did he mention these horses? Because God's going to deal harshly with them. Because all they want to do is deceive, to kill, and destroy. And they've been doing that for hundreds of years now. And now the cup is overflowing. Now he's about ready to come and destroy these horses, these metaphors, these groups of people that are in the billions. Not hundreds or thousands, billions. They're all clumped in that same group of theirs. And that's what the Apostle John saw. Praise God. So now, let's go to this verse of Scripture in Romans chapter 3. Here we go. Look at this. There is none who understands. There is none who what? Seeks after God. Let me just say this, saints. I'm going to say it as cautiously as possible. Before you got saved, were you seeking God? For me, I'm just going to speak for me, Pastor Fiend. Before I got saved, I lived a life of debauchery. If I would have met Sister Yolanda in my BC years before Christ, she would want nothing to do with me. She never met that man. And I'm glad she never seen that man before. I'm talking about the old Fee Sullivan. Because I was an ugly person. I destroyed the first marriage, but I wasn't saved. And every one of us in here, and those who are listening or watching, possibly has had a tainted past. Can I get amen?
Amen.
But here's the thing. Because Paul was telling them all, none of you are seeking God. Before we got saved, did you wake up, oh man, I got to get on my knees and pray and just maybe fast today and read my word? No. I would get up to see how much weed I had to go smoke. Oh, come on, let's keep it real here. Oh, come on. Oh man, I'm getting low on the beer. I gotta go ante up the beer. Oh, come on. How many parties are you don't call up my friends? When's the next party? When's the next dance? What's the next thing we can go crash? What's the next game we could go whoop on? Well, come on, we live that kind of life. Now, nobody was looking for God. None of us were. And so God had to do something supernaturally. He had to quicken us. He had to make us come alive because we weren't coming to him. Did you know that none of us would come to him on our own? Mm-mm. Look what King David wrote right up here. Look at this. In Psalm 14, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none who does good. The Lord looks down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there are any who understand, who seek. They all turn aside. They have together become corrupt. There is none who does good. No, not one. And so I said, okay, God, before I bring this message, was there anything in the New Testament that we can use as a reference to confirm this? And it's right here. In these next few verses found in the book of John. In John 6:44, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. Are you catching this?
Yep.
We can't go to God until we get drawn by him. And if he doesn't touch us to be drawn to him, guess what? We're not going nowhere. You see, man always wants to pat himself on the back. Well, that was the day I gave my heart to the Lord. I went to the altar and I got. Oh, really? You woke up that morning and said, I'm going to get saved. God drew you by his mercy. God drew you by his grace. God drew you by his love that he didn't want to see you perish and die and drop into a place called hell. Can I get an amen? It was all God. And this is why we had to defer it all to Jesus, you are worthy. Jesus, it was you, God. It was not me. It was you that saved me. Hallelujah. Jesus, thank you, God. And I got more proof to show that He chose us. We didn't choose Him. We weren't looking for Him. We were looking for the next high. We were looking for the next party. We were looking for the next bedroom to creep into. Oh, come on. We didn't have a mind for God. But look at this. In John 15, 16. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should remain. That whatever you ask the Father in my name, He may give you. These things I command you, that you love one another. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Because, listen, because we are His, because He has chosen us, now we can ask Him, oh God, I want this ministry to do this for you, God. I want to please you, God. I want to love you. I want to see others be one to you. Now He can open up the door, hallelujah, and let you walk in and serve Him gladly. Can I get an amen? Because He's called you. Woo, hallelujah. You need to catch this revelation. Oh, that's right. There's a lot of denominations where it's like a work salvation. I'm sorry. He saved you. You didn't come back to that altar on your own. It don't work that way. Can I get an amen? And then I go, okay, God, show me more. How many want to see more? Paul wrote this in Colossians. Look at this. In Colossians, right up here. Colossians 2:13. Look at this. And you. Say, turn to your neighbor. And you. And you. And you. And then point your finger at me. Look at this. And you being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh. He has made alive together. He made you come alive. Not us. We were dead. Look at this. Made us alive with Him, having forgiven you all trespasses, having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us. What was against us? The law. The law said you have sinned. The law said you've done this. The law said you deserve death now. And then Jesus said, wait a minute. Wait a minute. I got them now. I'm going to stand before them. I'm going to wash them in my blood. I'm going to give them a heart to repent. I'm going to give them a mind to be saved. Can I get an amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Jesus, having forgiven you all trespasses. Look at this. Having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us. Why? Because we loved our sin. And then He comes and takes it away. Woo, man. We were comfortable in our sin. And then He comes and cleanses us. It was contrary to us. Look at this. And He has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. Hallelujah. Come on, give God a shout. Whoa, thank you, God. He nailed our sins to the cross. Hallelujah. Every sin, past, present, and future, He nailed it on the cross. Jesus, thank you. Man, I'm telling you, when you start learning the depths of who He is, you'll fall that much more in love with Him. Can I get amen? Amen. Listen, I love the experience. I love praying, watching people fall out and all that. But guess what? What brings me greater joy is to learn who He is. And understand what He's done for us and what He's about to do. Can I get amen? Amen. I'm not knocking experience. We need that every now and then. But I'd rather be built up in the Word. So when wherever I go, I got the Word in me. I'll know what to say. God will bring to your remembrance what to say. Because you put the Word in you. So He will retrieve it for you. Can I give it? The Holy Ghost will bring it to mind. Hallelujah. I don't know what to say. Yeah, but God does. And then He brings it to mind. Hallelujah. Come on. God is confirming this with someone in here. Yes. Hallelujah. So you know that lets us know it's not about us. It's all about Him. Jesus. Jesus. Hallelujah. Okay. Whoop! Let's move on. Thank you, God. Listen, I get excited about Jesus. Can I get an amen? I get excited what he's done in my life. It's been 34 years and I'm still in love with him. I still love, yeah. Has it been a struggle at times? Yes. Has it been difficult sometimes? Yes. But guess what? Greater is he that lives in me than he that's in the world. And I've learned to press toward the prize and the call in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Because I know one day my Redeemer will come for me. Hallelujah. And redeem me and deliver me from this body of flesh. Can I get an amen? We're going to have a whole new body. Hallelujah. So just hold on. Don't throw in the towel. Don't give up. Can I get an amen? Don't give up. We don't give up here, right? Amen. So back to Romans chapter 3, verse 12. They all have turned aside. They have together become unprofitable. There is none who does good. No, not one. And so saints, the phrase, all have turned away from God, all have gone wrong. We find this in Psalms 14:3. Look at this. They all have turned aside. They have together become corrupt. There is none who does good. No, not one. And look at, did you know that? What, I'm going to give you guys a quick little Bible test here. This is Psalms 14:3. What psalm that's identical? It's like, is there a typo in my Bible? But when you go there, it's the same scripture. Which one is it? This would be a question if you were on that program, Who Wants to Be a Millionaire? Remember that? Remember that? Who Wants to Be a Millionaire? This is that million-dollar question. Yeah. It's identical. It's Psalms 53:3. They all have turned aside. They have together become corrupt. There is none who does good, no, not one. So I had to do a word search. I go, was there an error here? No. Throughout Google, wherever you go, no. This is what King David wrote. It was for a different time. It was for a different thing, but it was the same. It's the only two scriptures that are alike like that in the whole Bible. Wow. Something I learned. Praise God. So now let's move on to Romans chapter 3 verse 13. Look at this. Their throat is an open tomb. With their tongues they have practiced deceit. The poison of asps is under what? Their lips. Saints, King David wrote in Psalms again, and this statement that their talk is foul. You remember when you used to talk with a foul mouth, right? I remember before I got saved, it was bleepity, bleepity, bleep, and then Jesus Christ would come out. Wow. Now, when we hear someone bleepity, bleepity, bleep, and then Jesus Christ comes out, now it's like fingernails on a chalkboard. It's like, oh man, I don't want to hear that. Because that's my God now. That's who saved me. Oh, that's right. Look at this. This is what I found in Psalms 5. Look at this. 9 through 10. For there is no faithfulness in their mouth. Their inward part is destruction. Their throat is an open tomb. They flatter with their tongue. Pronounce them guilty, O God. Let them fall by their own counsels. Cast them out in the multitude of their transgressions, for they have rebelled against you. Saints of God, I'm here to let you know that the culture today has abandoned God. I shared it earlier. You can't find him in the public school no more. You can't find Jesus in court. You can't find Jesus in the malls. You can't find Jesus nowhere. Except your church, your Bible groups, and the people that you love that are born again. Unfortunately, even your unsaved loved ones don't talk about Jesus. And when you try to talk to them, they get mad. How many get mad? How many of you know they get mad? Oh, but it's their nature because they're not saved. Praise God. Look at this. Look what I found in Matthew 15, 10 and 11. When he had called the multitude to himself, he said to them, hear and understand. Not what goes into the mouth defiles a man is what comes out of that mouth. This defiles a man. What is he saying? He's saying that we are sinfully corrupt from the inside out. So when we get saved, we don't just go, oh, now I'm not going to dress like them. I'm not going to do that. No, he changes us from the inside out. He washed, you ever washed the outside of a cup, but the inside is still filthy? Let's wash that inside first, then wash the outside. Amen?
Amen.
And that's what Jesus was saying here. Look what I found in James regarding this issue. Look at this. James 1:26. If anyone among you thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this one's religion is what? Useless. Let me pause there. Do you know Christians who still curse? Who still has potty mouths? I'm talking believers. It should not be mentioned amongst us no more, right? But we still see that. And God is saying, don't let it be found amongst you no more. In other words, give it to God. Yesterday, Sister Yolanda and I, we had just dropped off Brother Andre, and we were headed to Whole Foods to buy some groceries. And I was getting off the off-ramp, and there was a car right behind me that I thought was going to ram into me. And it was going, ha, 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 right? And so when we finally got off the ramp, we came to a light, and that car pulled up right next to us. And I said, roll down the windows, this lady wants to say something. She must have been what? 70? 65? And she was going, wah, 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 wah. Well, man, I'm not going to say anything she said. And right away, I saw Yolanda was about ready to say something, and I was about ready to say something. And what came out of my mouth was, can we pray for you? Are you having a bad day? Let us pray for you. Oh! Oh, and then she goes, pray, no. And then Yolanda goes, as she drove off, take care of yourself. Jesus loves you. And then the light turned, and she went over the whole curve and almost hit the light, man. She was just like, I go, man, we just witnessed road rage.
Yeah, when you caught yourself.
Yeah, it was a fiery dart. See, God was testing us. But you know, I'm only boasting in Christ. I'm only boasting in Jesus. But for the 27 years we've been married, by the grace of God, Sister Yolanda has never heard me curse. By God's grace. You know why? Because He cleaned the inside. That was the first thing He took from me, was my bleepity bleepity mouth. Because I was known for that. Man, I still have videos when I worked in the lumber yard. Every other word was the F-bomb. Yeah. Man, it's like, who was that? I would say, who was that guy? I don't even know him no more. That's what God does.
That's right. Amen. Amen.
He translates you from darkness into His marvelous light. It's all about Jesus, right? And so James further explains this. Look at this in James 3, 8 and 9. But no one can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Paul was saying in Romans that the tongue is filled with asp underneath, with filth. With it, we look at this. With it, here's where conviction comes. With it we bless God and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the similitude of God. You know what this is saying right here? Watch what you say to your unbelieving family member, friend. If you curse them out, the Bible says they're made in the likeness of you, of who God made you. He made them the same way. And why are you cursing them out? So we'll come to Sunday, praise the Lord, hallelujah, God bless you. and then come home and kick the dog and curse out the unsaved one. Wow. Ooh, we got quiet in here. No. But see, it's there to help us. Don't go there. Don't go there. Let me just say this. I'm going to say this in love. Whatever type of ministry that God has put in your heart and you desire for ministry, you better walk uprightly before Him with everyone around your life. Because if you fail the test, He will crush your ministry. He will not allow it to prosper. Why? Because He can't trust you. He can't trust you. So you got to be careful how you handle folks. Can I get an amen? Because this will back me up every time of what I'm saying. I'm not saying this out of my own volition here. I'm saying what the Word says. Because we can praise God and then curse people, and yet they're made just like us. Wow. Help us, Jesus. You want to prosper? Learn to love the people around your life. I don't know who God's placed around your life. You probably don't know who God's placed around my life. But that sphere of influence, look at it like this. That's you. And you have a sphere of people that live in your life. That's your world. So the people that God has around your sphere of influence, God's holding you accountable on how you entreat them. Amen? Okay. So, we move on to Romans chapter 3, verse 14. Look at this. Whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Wow. Saints, King David. God had to show King David. Why did God show King David so many of these songs? So, a psalm is a song that he sang to God. So he was a musician and also a man of blood, a man of war. He was both. But every time he was in a predicament, God would give him the words to sing back to God. Because you know what? That would bring joy to his heart, singing to the king. Why? Because he killed many with his hands. Because God said to destroy them. You got to remember, it was God that wanted these Amalekites and all these Jebusites and all these termites. He wanted them all killed. Okay? And so God had to use men. And he raised up David. But here's the thing about David. He had a heart after God. Even when he willfully sinned, he still loved God. And look what he wrote in Psalm 10, 1 through 7. Why do you stand afar off, O Lord? Why do you hide yourself in times of trouble? The wicked in his pride persecutes the poor. Let them be caught in the plots which they have devised. For the wicked boasts of his heart's desire. He blesses the greedy and renounces the Lord. The wicked in his proud countenance does not seek God. God is none of his thoughts. In other words, these people that seem like they're prospering, you ever notice, do you know unsaved folks? It looks like they're just so prospering. They drive a better car. They live in a better home. They got fat wallets. You ever ask yourself, wow, God. They're going to have their day in court. Don't worry about them. Worry about your life. Look at verse 5 up here. His ways are always prospering. Your judgments are far above, out of his sight. As for all his enemies, he sneers at them. He has said in his heart, I shall not be moved. I shall never be in adversity. These are these people that don't know God. His mouth is full of cursing and deceit and oppression. Under his tongue is trouble and iniquity. We have known this one gentleman, I won't say his name up here, before I got saved. He works with my brother. this man mocks Jesus. He makes $95 an hour. Almost $100 an hour. He's got this big fancy house, drives these cars, smokes his weed. You know, he's one of those addicts that are working addicts,
functioning addicts.
And there were times in 2008 when we almost lost our home, and you know, the guy was just... And God said, don't worry about folks like that. You know why? Because they're all going to have their day in court with him. Matter of fact, just pray for them. Pray that they come into the saving knowledge. Pray that I will spare them from hell. So we need to flip it in our heart. Just because we don't love to see what they're doing or how they mock God, pray for them because we were there. We were there. God had to put me in check. Say, wait a minute. You're telling me all about him. I already know who he is. Have you prayed for him? Have you prayed for him? You want to prosper? Then read the end of the book of Job. When he started praying for his friends, God blessed him tenfold. Everything he lost, God gave him back his children that were destroyed in the storms. Gave him back his wealth. All his finances came back tenfold. He gave him everything tenfold.
Thank you, Lord.
Because he prayed for his friends. Or are we going to hold grudges? Praying for that one. Keep on thinking that. And see how God blesses your life. Oh, yeah. Now, eventually rebellion against God shows itself by what? By tainting the way a person speaks. Cursing and bitterness may strike us first as offensive expressions, but they are also clues about a person's inward condition. So, you know, someone that's potty mouth, they don't know Jesus. Pray for them. That lady didn't know Jesus. Praise God, nobody was standing on that corner. She would have ran them over. She went all up on the sidewalk, trying to run away when we said, can we pray for you? And then I yelled out, Jesus loves you. Bam! It was like a bat out of hell. We drove away. Oh, God, have mercy on her, God. Lord, let her go home and get rest. Keep her off the road, God. Keep her off the road, God. Help her, God. So, amen. Let's move on to Romans chapter 3, verse 15. We're almost done. We've got a few more verses. Can you hang in there? Huh? Amen. Praise God. Look at this. It says, their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are on their ways, and the way of peace they have not known. These are three verses clumped together. And so Isaiah wrote this. Look at this. Their feet run to evil, and they make haste to shed innocent blood. Their thoughts, look at this, their thoughts are thoughts of iniquity, wasting and destruction are in their paths. The way of peace they have not known, and there is no justice in their ways. They have made themselves crooked paths, and whoever takes that, they should not know peace. There's this video. I'm praying about showing it. But Fox News, sent investigators privately, and they filmed it. They went in like spies, and they went into the Planned Parenthoods, and they video filmed a woman who is, these doctors are shedding innocent blood by aborting the babies, and there's witches in there giving incantations, demonic prayers. Their feet run to evil, and they make haste to shed innocent blood. 70 million now babies aborted in our country. Do you think God's going to say enough is enough? Is he going to allow it to keep going till it reaches 100 million? God had to bring judgment to Hitler when he just killed 6 million. There's 70 million aborted in our nation. And now if you go picket them, you'll get 10 years in incarceration. They will apprehend you for picketing and standing in front, preaching in front of a Planned Parenthood now. That's what they'll do in California. Thank you, Mr. Newsom. Thank you. Saints, the shameful milestones of history are marked with bloodstains from the atrocities committed by those who freed themselves from God. There's always a talk of peace, but apart from God, there can be no real peace. Can I get amen?
Amen.
And so we're going to expound our last verse, verse 18 in Romans chapter 3. There is no fear of God before their eyes. That's just it right there. There's no fear. Look what King David wrote in Psalms 36, 1 through 4. Look at this. An oracle within my heart concerning the transgression of the wicked. There is no fear of God before their eyes. For he flatters himself in his own eyes. And when he finds out his iniquity, and when he, what? Hates. Look at verse 3. The words of his mouth are wickedness and deceit. He has ceased to be wise and to do good. He devises wickedness on his bed. He sets himself in a way that is not good. He does not abhor evil. You mean thousands of Planned Parenthood doctors wake up because they can't wait to go in there and cut out a baby? Devising wickedness. Innocent blood. Under the guise of women's... There's a term that they use. It's like a medical thing, but it's not. They'll come to me. But they use that. And yet, it's wicked. How many believe that's wicked, what they do? So Israel was judged because they were throwing their babies into the fire to Moloch, the god that had his arms open. It's a real statue. It was a real time. And that's what brought the judgment on them from the Babylonians. God said, I'm raising up an army to destroy you now. And God did. That's why Jeremiah is called the weeping prophet. How many prophets now have come to our nation and has forewarned us that judgment is coming? Mark this down if you're taking notes. April 8th, next month, the second solar eclipse coming from Texas to Maine. The first one was from Oregon to South Carolina. This one now is coming from Texas to Maine. And right dead in the center is Little Egypt. So, the Jews in Israel, the rabbis, in their Talmud, it's recorded. And it's proof of what they've said. when there is a lunar eclipse, meaning a blood moon, it means tribulation to Israel. But a solar eclipse is tribulation to the Gentile nations. And only five other times in the history of the United States has there been a complete solar eclipse that is not coming across any other country but ours. It was during the American War, the Civil War, and the Vietnam War. And so when 2017 came with that one, what came right after that? COVID-19, a failed economy, interest rates that were 3% are now 8%. God was shaking us and warning us that, guess what? This is going to be tribulation to your country. And now the next one is coming next month. And it's going to be coming from Texas all the way to Maine. And what the Jewish rabbis truly believe, when there's two that come like that, it's going to be war on your land. And right now, Russia, China, North Korea, Iran, Turkey, Cuba, Venezuela, and even Mexico are teaming up. And here's why it's going to be real easy to attack us. Because right now, they stop, except Mexico, they stop using our dollar. So what's the currency around the world? It used to be the dollar. It's not no more. It's the Chinese currency. And that's why the United States needs to go to war with them. Because every time the dollar was threatened, it caused them to go to war. Because that's our survival. Our economy is the survival of the nation. And now it's been taken away. So what Putin has been go on YouTube and listen to the address to his nation. He said, it's time. It's time. It's time to go after them now. That's us. This is why my messages in the last year has get your house in order, get your heart right before God, because He's the only one that's going to put a shield about you. Can I get amen? Amen. If you're walking uprightly before God, He will take you. He will take you before. But that solar eclipse is marked already. It's coming April 8th. And after that, we don't know how many months will go by, weeks, but there's going to be an attack, and it's going to be a suddenly attack. Because two of them on a nation, and it's the only nation that it crosses paths with. No other nation around the world, only the U.S. It's a judgment coming. God has marked this country for judgment. Well, when you got 70 million aborted, do you think He's going to just wink? What did I show last week? Parades and parades and parades and parades and parades once a month now with homosexuals and transgenders with their flags. And thousands of them are in the street. You think God's just going to wink? We're in the days of Lot and Noah. I hope you know that. This is why tonight we're looking at these last few scriptures. There's no fear of God. They don't fear God. And you try to tell them, amen, repent, man. God's going to bring judgment. They'll laugh and mock at you. Yeah. They did it in Noah's day, and then the rain came. Remember I was showing those pictures of Noah's Ark with like the little ones from a kid's book? And then I showed the one where they were all clawing on the boat as the waters were rising and they had nothing to grip on no more. And they all went to their death. This time it's going to be by fire. This is a serious matter. And look what it says right up here. Look at this. I'm going to go to 1 Peter 2:17. Honor all people. Love the brotherhood. Fear God and honor the king. Who's the king? King Jesus. Honor the king. Honor God. You can't honor wicked men. It's not saying to honor a guy like Biden. He's all for what? Destruction. Honor the king. All we got is Jesus now. Can I get an amen? Look at this in Proverbs 10:27. The fear of the Lord prolongs your days, but the years of the wicked will be shortened. Walk uprightly and God will strengthen your days. You'll be able to walk in His ways. Look at this in Psalm 19:9. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous. What? All together. You see, saints, when we regard God correctly, we gain a clear picture of ourselves. How sinful and weak and frail, and that we need God. How many believe we need Him? We need God. When we recognize who God is and who we are, we will fall at His feet with humble respect. My dear sister that relocated to Idaho, I gave her some advice because she is filled with knowledge and wisdom and years of experience of the healing rooms, all that. I said, these folks don't know who you are. Stay humble before them. God will exalt you in due time. Can't just walk in, here I am. No, if the pastor asks you to sit, then sit. Just receive and show humility. And then God will allow your gift to excel once again. Can I get an amen? We have to stay humble in our call. If we think we've arrived, guess what? Think again. We haven't arrived nowhere. We're frail. We need God. You see, some people lack this fear out of ignorance, while others, through familiarity with God, lose the sense of humble awe that ought to characterize a person's attitude before God. How many believe that we need to stay humble before God? We need to stay humble before Him. And for those of you that are on YouTube, we'll be back on Facebook, maybe, in about a month. They threw us off. We're in Facebook jail.
For how long ago?
Being persecuted.
Yeah. You know what? God had to remind me, you know what? You're speaking truth and they didn't like it. Yeah. So that's okay. Praise God for YouTube that still has us going. But maybe you're watching right now and you've never given your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. And maybe, just maybe, it's time. God is saying, you know what? He's saying, come unto me, all ye that are heavy laden and burdened, and I'll give you rest for your soul. God wants to do something that you cannot do on your own and give you a miraculous deliverance, a life that you always wanted. It's like an old country and western song, looking for love in all the wrong places. It's time now to look to Jesus, the author and the finisher of all of our faith. And if that's you, I'm going to ask the Amazing Grace family to pray with me, to pray for you, that you would give your heart to Jesus and watch God do the miraculous. So if that's you, bow your heart and your head with me and let's pray this prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, we thank you, God, for the life that you have given us. Lord Jesus, we believe on your death, burial, and resurrection. We believe that you died for us. And the blood that you shed on the cross will cleanse us from all our sins. Lord Jesus, we ask you, God, to forgive us for every sin. Come into our hearts. Make us new people in Christ Jesus. And from this day on, we will do our best to honor you and to follow you all the days of our life. In Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, give God a shout. Hallelujah.
The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them, and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you and thank you for listening.